This is Will's Band of the Week for July 8th, 2012. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. From 100 Degree Madison, Wisconsin, this is Will.
And this is Barrett.
It is 100 degrees, isn't it?
Yeah, even like, well, now it's after 9 p.m.
It's probably down to like 88.
No, it's in the high 90s still.
Still?
I just got out of the car.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really, really nasty.
Yeah.
I think if it got up to 104 today, which I think it might have. That was going to be the hottest temperature since 1976 in Wisconsin. Not just for this day, July 5th, but like at all.
And the highest temperature ever recorded in Madison, I think, is 107.
Really?
Right. So we were...
So it's like this forecast exactly felt the same. It doesn't make any... Like 2 degrees doesn't really make any difference.
Probably not. Yeah. It's about as hot as it can get.
Yeah. I'm not impressed. I mean, it's hot, but it's like...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's like those days when it's really, really, really cold. You get all bundled up and you go outside. It's always kind of a letdown. It's like, this is all you got? Come on.
Yeah, my wife went for a run, and she went, let's see, I think she went at about maybe 9 or 10 in the morning. So it was pretty hot by then. And she said she put ice cubes in a hat, you know, a running hat, like a cap. Mm-hmm. And she said it was actually not that bad. She ran for like an hour.
Wow.
And I ran over my noon hour for about 25 minutes. And I probably could have gone longer, but I wasn't going fast. And, you know, it was damn hot. But,
right.
You know, it's if you prepare, it's kind of cool when you think about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, you've run in below zero, maybe,
sure,
in Wisconsin, and now you've run in, like, more than 100 degree swing.
Yeah, you know? that's pretty hardcore. I ran the other day, like, on Tuesday. But I went pretty early when it was still below 90, but it was humid.
Yeah.
And I took a bandana, and like from one point to the other, I lined up ice cubes, mm-hmm. rolled it up, and wore it around my neck.
Yep.
And I looked like a real weirdo, but I didn't care.
How long did it take them to melt?
I ran for half an hour, and when I got back, they weren't all melted.
Wow, what a deal.
Yeah.
This is good.
So...
Very creative.
But you can put them right in the hat, huh? That's a good idea.
Yeah. They actually make hats, I think, that have like a little compartment. But you have to be pretty much a hardcore to have one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or through the Facebook or Twitter methods. You can also post a comment on the website, willsband.net, and you can subscribe through iTunes or the Stitcher app. Can you subscribe in the Stitcher app, or do you just download it when you want it?
You
or stream it.
Yeah, you stream
you
it.
Stream
like
it.
It'll anything that you kind of you favorite it or whatever. When you go back, it lists all the new episodes of your stuff that you favorited.
Yeah, I played with it a little bit, but I usually have access to iTunes, so I use that. But so that's a pretty good number of methods, right? People
That's
can
plenty.
Utilize. And we've been getting a little bit more contact through, I guess, Facebook, right? Which is kind of cool. People have been posting a few comments here and there, and that's kind of fun.
I don't check that as much as I should.
Keep it up, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been some good stuff up there. Check it out and keep the comments coming. And let's see. What do we have this week? We have music and we have... Well, I don't know. What do we have? First of all, let's see if there's any music news.
Music news.
You know, last week, I think I mentioned this little, I don't know if you want to call it a publicity stunt or whatever, this thing the Flaming Lips were doing. They were trying to break the world record,
mm-hmm.
a world record. And I remembered it as being like 6 shows in 3 days or something, but it was 8 shows in 24 hours, and they all had to be in different cities, and they did it.
Wow.
So they started in Memphis, and they went through Mississippi and stopped in various places and ended up in New Orleans.
Wow.
Apparently they did it
How long were the shows?
I don't know.
Like, couldn't be too long.
Right. Yeah, like, I wonder how the You couldn't do, like, remember when Jack White did this thing where with the White Stripes, where they went somewhere and they announced like a surprise show, and he and all these people gathered around this park. This was there was a live video a few years ago from the White Stripes, and they showed this, and he you know, all these fans lined up in this park, and he shows up, and you know, they set up an amp, and he walks on, and he plays one note, and then he just walks off. Just walks, and he goes, darn. Anyways, that's pretty bad, isn't it?
That is bad.
I mean, it's in a way it's funny, but it's really insulting to the people.
It is insulting. You know, that's like, that is really, really not cool.
No, it's not. I don't think the Flaming Lips did that. I'm going to say they must have at least played half an hour, 45 minutes.
You could 45 minutes is worth people coming.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, the ones that started at like 6 a.m., that'd be kind of weird, right? I saw a little bit of...
No, that would be kind of great, though.
Yeah, there was one that looked like it was in the a.m. somewhere by, you know, a beach or by water somewhere they were playing. And it was just kind of bizarre, though. Because the crowd, it wasn't that big of a crowd. It looked like there were maybe like, I don't know, 75 people there, and it was outside.
Really? That's it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have totally gone. Before work. Like, you get to work.
If you live
everybody
anywhere
else is
near
all
there,
bleary-eyed,
yeah.
Like, I don't have any coffee yet.
Right.
Like, I saw the Flaming Lips.
Right.
I had some Memphis barbecue
right.
by the beach, and now I'm coming to work.
Oh, right. I know. You know, this is just how the video looked, so I don't know if they ever, you know, posted like statistics of the whole deal.
Yeah.
But apparently they got a some kind of certificate from the Guinness Book of World Records when they finished. Mm-hmm. Like, they was, I forgot who had done it. Somebody had done 6 and now they did 8.
It's kind of, I was thinking about that, how it's the Flaming Lips here, like, those weirdos, I can't believe they did that. But what if a band like Vampire Weekend did it? Everybody'd just be like, what a bunch of tools. Why did they do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You mean,
we
you
give,
think just by...
give the lips so much leeway.
By doing...
whatever they want to do, that's like, that's cool.
By having a history of doing bizarre things. And I think by Wayne Coyne just being kind of the personality that he is, he's got... yeah, like you said, he's got leeway. There was an article on Stereo Gum where somebody was... I think it was titled something like the 10 most bizarre publicity stunts by the Flaming Lips or something like that.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, they mentioned the 4 CD thing they did.
Yeah.
Where you had to, like, you were supposed to play all 4 of them at the same time. Did you ever know anybody who did that?
No.
I wasn't really a fan of the Flaming Lips at that time. That was before the Soft Bulletin, when that one was the one that really got me.
That's the same one with me. I didn't really know about them until then.
And so that was one. And then, you know, they've done all this. They did, like, in the past year, they've done all kinds of crazy stuff. They did those skulls where they put, like, a flash drive inside of a gummy skull and sold it for $5,000. They sold, like, 10 or something.
They did?
Yeah, I think so. And then they had a 24-hour song. Remember that?
No.
Yeah, it was like, it was streaming and you could just listen to a little piece of it. I mean, I don't know if it just looped or what it did, but I remember listening to a little piece and it was like, this isn't as bad as I would have thought it would be.
Yeah.
It's really not all that bad. And I think that's part of, like, the whole thing. They do these bizarre things and you think it's going to be just terrible. And then when it's really not that terrible, then you say, hey, I guess that's okay.
Right.
You know? What the hell? They're having fun doing nutty stuff.
We should do something like that, don't you
think?
With
a podcast?
Yeah, we could have like one podcast, not 24 hours. Let's say it's 3 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't release it, right? Except like on these little flash drives. And then we'll, you know, how do we could encase it in something interesting to make it just like the Lips did.
Well,
I think we should. Gummy head, I don't think we can do that.
We need to do something that's never been done.
A cake. Right? We'll put it in a cake. And it'll be like $100.
Yeah.
We probably sell.
Personally baked by you.
Yeah, by me.
Yep.
I'll make it like a, it'll be like a, do you like pineapple upside down cake?
I don't really like pineapple.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter whether I like it.
Yeah. I think our listeners would like
it. Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, situated among all those pineapples would be the thumb drive, and they can decide if they want to ruin the artifact to listen to this gold, or maybe if they bought it, we would let them listen to just, you know, they could keep the artifact intact, and we can just email them the link.
It'd be like if you buy the vinyl, and that gives you the download also.
Right.
Right. If they buy the cake, they can have the download of the podcast. But only those people will get it.
We wouldn't do like, well.
It would be a podcast heard by only like 5 people then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, just think that would be pretty valuable then.
Yeah, it would.
Because then later, you know, 10 years from now, you could like auction them off for like $100,000 a piece probably.
I just had another idea. We can do vanity podcasts for bands. Like, you give us $400 and we'll record a podcast and we'll talk about like, you know, the wedding present and, you know, whatever your band is.
Right.
And then you can show it, you know, like play it for your parents.
Right.
Play it for your friends.
They could request which other band they would like discussed alongside them.
Yeah.
And then we could just promise to say that their music is great and it goes down in history along with the greats. Right?
Yeah.
Like Bob Dylan.
And
maybe.
then they can bring this podcast to like booking agents and stuff.
Right. Yeah, boy, we could be onto something.
Yep.
The possibilities are virtually endless.
We've got to monetize this thing, though, so we can quit our jobs.
Yeah.
That's what I've been kind of angling for ever since we started this about 2.5 years ago.
Right, right. Turn this into full time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, maybe we ought to just continue with the Flaming Lips then, right?
Yeah.
Because about, what was it? Record Store Day. That was mid-April.
Yeah.
So we're talking like 2.5 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Flaming Lips released this kind of Flaming Lips appropriate. It was a double album, right?
It's a double album,
and
like I talked about it on the podcast once before. The vinyl is like just multicolored, swirly, kind of no two are the same. And the record cover, I mean, we're looking at it on Spotify now, and there's a picture of somebody, and it's nothing like that at all. Like that's got the names of the collaborators. There's no information whatsoever.
Yeah, so they, well, for the digital art, they had to make something that identified it, right?
Yeah.
So,
but on the record, it wasn't like that. It was just like all just multicolored, weird patterns.
Wasn't there something that they, like, had their blood mixed in with the vinyl?
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I don't know if that's on every copy or whether you needed the special blood edition.
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
I mean, they could just make a huge, you know, like go to the factory that day and they each put like, you know, just a tiny bit of blood
tiny
in
bit.
There.
Yeah.
Makes it all into one big thing.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, now they, 2.5 months later, they put it out digitally, which is kind of cool because now I get to hear it, but it's bad for you because,
it is bad.
Because it devalues what you had.
Yeah. They did make it seem like, I mean, I bought that thing for like $45.
Yeah. But it's a collector's item too. You know?
Yeah. I'm happy I have it, but I told my son about it, and when he and I were listening to it back in April, you know, I was sort of trying to get him a little bit more interested, and I'd say, this is, you know, we bought this at Record Store Day, which he came to with me, and like, nobody else can hear this. It's not on iTunes. You can't hear it on Spotify. So he thought that was pretty neat, and then you know, then I told him that now it's on Spotify, and he felt betrayed by the Flaming Lips a little bit. But there is one song that they left off.
Right.
And I don't know. Not sure what. Is this also available on iTunes?
I don't know. I've got it from Spotify, and it has 12 of the 13 tracks. Yeah. Well, I think we should play some. This is all collaborations. It's called The Flaming Lips and Hedy Fwends, spelled Fwends. And they've collaborated with a couple of these I've never heard of, but the majority I guess I have heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty diverse collection of collaborators, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of all over the place. So what do you think we should play first?
Well, my favorite one is actually the one with Yoko Ono. Do it.
Do it! Do it!
So what do you think of that song? Maybe that's not your favorite one on there.
It's not my favorite, but it's kind of interesting. I wonder if they just like called her and said, could you please just yell do it a few times and then we're going to put it on the recording?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or was she actually in the studio?
It doesn't sound anything like her either.
You wouldn't know. Yeah,
it sounds like a kid. It sounds like a 15-year-old boy.
I don't think I know her voice well enough that I would know one way or the other.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound like I think she's like 73. She's older than John Lennon was.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pretty cool. She's had a bad rap all these years.
Does she still live in New York? I sort of think of her as being part of the...
I think she still lives at the Dakota. She does. She lives in the same apartment at the Dakota.
Wow. I always think of her as being part of the sort of arty New York scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, so that's how John Lennon met her. There was a ladder with a micro, like a, not a, what do you call that? Magnifying glass hanging down. And, incoming call.
Podcast Recording Central. Yeah, we are.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I saw the message about Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, yeah. Pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, what a nice guy.
Yep.
Okay, well, I'm on my way.
Okay. Barrett's here. He became available.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
It is.
Well, that's cool.
All right. Cool. Oh, we're behaving. We're good people.
Okay, I'll see you later.
Okay, bye.
All right, little interlude there. I'll wait till you get your phones back on. So, yeah. What were we saying?
You're saying something about a magnifying glass or something.
Oh, yeah, right. So there's a ladder and a magnifying glass hanging down on a string or something. And so you're like, okay, grab the magnifying glass and climb up the ladder. And there's like a little word on the ceiling. And you hold the magnifying glass up. I'm pantomiming this right now, which only Will can see. And that said, yes. And John Lennon thought that was really cool. That's why he fell in love with her.
This is like the beginning of their relationship.
It was in like 66 at this gallery in New York called Indica. And, you know, they didn't... I don't know if they got together right then or shortly after that. But
you certainly know your Beatles trivia. So this track says it's featuring Yoko Ono / Plastic Ono Band.
Yeah.
So was there really a Plastic Ono Band?
Yeah. Like the first Lennon solo album is John Lennon Plastic Ono Band.
So who's in the Plastic Ono Band?
I don't know. Like Klaus Voormann and people like that, I think.
Have they reformed like with Bon Iver in the band or something?
No, I think that it's like I think this is just the Flaming Lips and her.
Seems that
but
way.
But it was just kind of a fun way to attribute the thing.
That's probably right. Yeah.
Like the Flaming Lips are the new Plastic Ono Band for this little track.
Yeah. So I'll pick one. I kind of like there's some a couple of sort of slow ballady type ones that are actually pretty good. I kind of like the one with Tame Impala, so I'm going to play that. It's called Children of the Moon.
We'll be right back.
The Flaming Lips with Tame Impala. Now, how would they get together with Tame Impala? That's a band from Australia.
Yeah.
Interesting combo.
That is.
So, I thought that was good. So, as you might expect from the Flaming Lips, it's kind of all over the place. There's a couple songs like that, and there's some that are just kind of that wild, crazy sound, Flaming Lips.
Mm-hmm. There's another Australian on there, Nick Cave. I don't really like that one at all.
Yeah, that wasn't really my favorite either. I don't know who New Fumes is.
I don't know that either.
Yeah.
And I don't know who
Aaron Behrens
either.
Right. Now, I've heard of Prefuse. Is that how you say it? 73?
Yeah, I've just seen that name. I don't know their music at all, and I've never even heard anybody say that before.
And then somewhere, when people wrote about this, they said Chris Martin from Coldplay was on this, but it's not listed anywhere. So,
yeah,
I don't know. So, what else should we play?
Well, there's one. We're never going to get a chance to play Biz Markie again on the podcast if we don't play this. And the first song is with, I think it's pronounced Kesha.
Mm-hmm.
That's how my son pronounces it, and Biz Markie. And this one's called 2012.
Who is Biz Markie, by the way?
He's like an old school rapper.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with him. Okay, here we go.
'Cause I want my ass. Shit. One more time.
You must be upgraded. You must be upgraded. You must be upgraded.
Well, it's 2012.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, and she's a big pop star.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if this is on iTunes, some of her fans must be buying this. Just like, I don't know what this Flaming Lips thing is, but there's Kesha, so we got to get this.
Yeah.
And then they must just be like, what in the shit is this?
Right. Yep.
Yeah, or maybe some other people are like, it switched something in their head, and they're like, wow. Kesha is the worst part about this awesome song. I'm going to start listening to the Flaming Lips now.
Yeah.
Maybe there are people like that.
Yeah.
I'd like to think there are a couple at least.
Yep. So apparently they're working on another album, the follow-up to Embryonic, you know, like an actual Flaming Lips album.
Yeah.
And
Embryonic was kind of disappointing.
It was just different, and I gave them credit for trying something different. And, you know, I think they needed to sort of steer themselves in a little bit different direction, and maybe they went a little too sort of dark. So I'm kind of optimistic. I think they'll maybe head in a pretty good, interesting direction for the next album. This has been their kind of crazy experimental phase, so we'll see what happens. So I could play another one, but I think we've probably represented this well enough. I was going to play the one by that has Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros on
that
it.
That is a good one.
Yeah. So, well, take a listen to that one. It's another sort of ballady type thing. And, yeah, it's all pretty interesting.
Yeah, Bon Iver is on there.
Yep. Lightning Bolt. That one's actually pretty good, too.
Yeah, I don't know what Lightning Bolt is.
My son likes Lightning Bolt. They're
so they're cool.
They're kind of loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, you know who else? I think when I first heard of Lightning Bolt, Carrie Brownstein, when she was collaborating with NPR, she was big on Lightning Bolt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they're from the Northwest United States. Maybe that's why she knows them. I'm not sure. So I might be wrong. So I'm just guessing.
It could be.
Because on this podcast, we don't care whether we're right or not.
You can't let facts get in the way of a good opinion about
something. It's a very good point. So, well, we've got lots more, don't we?
Yep. Let's keep rolling on.
How about this one right here?
Sunny and the Sunsets.
Yeah. Now, was it... It couldn't have been last year. It must have been 2 years ago, right? The last album?
I can't remember. It was not more than that.
And did somebody...
I think it came out at the end of 2010.
Sounds about right. And either you or Chris, I think, had it on your top 10.
Yeah, that was me.
And that... This one, to me, sounds kind of different.
It's quite a bit different.
This is pretty country, right?
Yeah, this is... The whole thing is totally countrified. It's less lo-fi. It's higher fi than the other one was.
I went to Nashville one time when the airfare was about $120 round trip or something. There was a crazy airfare sale.
Yeah.
So I might have told this story before on the podcast. So I went to Nashville with a couple of friends, and we went to the Country Music Hall of Fame, and we went to I remember being in this old-fashioned country music bar, and it was really old-fashioned. It was so old-fashioned, it was really cool. There was just, you know, writing all over the walls, and just... And this... That's kind of what this album sounds like to me, like a really old country artist, like from the early 60s or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not enough of a country fan to really know. But the old country, I don't really mind. It's the newer country music that I can't, you know, it's the Garth Brooks type stuff.
Right.
That's not new anymore, is it?
No, Garth Brooks isn't new. It's 20 years old, but still.
But this is like the, you know, modern country would be Garth Brooks and whatever.
Yeah.
Guys have there's a certain tone of voice, right, that you have to sing in, right? In the new country music, right?
I guess.
But some of the old stuff is kind of cool. And this has a lot of slide guitar on it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you want to pick one that is representative?
I think you should pick one. You should pick one first, and then I will pick one. The album is called Long Time Companion.
The one I'm going to pick is at number 7, I See the Void.
See the void.
what happened there. It started playing the next song.
Yeah. The first few times I heard this,
I was running. The mouse or something.
No, that's the way it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I was out running and I was like, what happened? Like, and then after a couple of times, I realized that's just the way they did it.
So that wasn't me?
No.
Huh. So, well, that one was kind of, I would call that one kind of a little poppier.
Yeah,
a little
that's less country than a lot of it is.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, the subject matter, this album, I guess, is written about, maybe not about, but in the wake of a breakup with his girlfriend of 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So that got me wondering, like, here's a guy, you know, I don't know how old he is, but he's been in this relationship for 10 years. Probably almost all of that time, he's been a struggling artist, right?
Yeah.
Last year, he kind of makes it a little bit to the point where he could go and sell a couple hundred tickets at a place like Madison, right?
Yeah.
So he kind of made it. And then his girlfriend leaves him. Like,
yeah, what a bummer. Time to write a country album.
But this must say something about what success did to him, I think. It did to their relationship.
Hard to know.
Yeah. Well, it's not hard for me to know. I know.
You know.
He turned into a jerk.
Yeah. That the must success, be it.
This the mildest of success, if you can even call it that, went to his head, and he ruined it. Now his girlfriend has left him.
Wow.
If anybody knows, Sonny, don't tell him I said these things. I'm sorry. I'm just speculating, but just like you were speculating about that band maybe being from the Northwest.
Yeah.
I can say the same thing about Sonny.
Right.
Except mine is more slanderous.
Right. That's Sonny Smith, and he's from San Francisco, I think, right?
I don't know.
I think so. So I picked one, and I'm going to like ruin the whole theme once again, because this is probably not quite as countrified as a lot of it either, but I kind of liked it. It's called Pretend You Love Me.
We've been through some things together. We were so close. Don't you remember? When I see you wandering way out there, I pretend you love me. I pretend. I pretend you care.
Yeah, that's got a lot of, you know, it doesn't sound like a country song, but it's got a lot of, like, country-ish, you know, identifiers in there.
Yeah.
This whole thing is really kind of like that. I mean, it's country-ish in the way that, you know, do you know Velvet Underground's Loaded? There's, like, a couple of sort of country-ish songs on there. Like, country-ish in a way that Lou Reed would have approached country in the early 70s, or, like, Jonathan Richman doing the... I think he has an album called Jonathan Goes Country or something like that. That got kind of a humorous approach to it.
Does that make it alt country?
Kind of, yeah.
We'll give it the alt label, which makes it cooler.
Doesn't it sound a little bit, you remember Camper Van Beethoven?
Yeah.
That band? It sounds a little like that, too.
I don't think I had any of their albums, so I just knew their popular songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we should play a little more.
Sunny in the Sunsets.
What do you think? I had, let's see, what did I have here? Track 2 and 10, I kind of liked. Want to play one of those?
Yeah, let's play number 10.
This is the title track, Longtime Companion.
That's the last song on the album. All the other ones are, like, not very optimistic. And then he puts this one at the end called Longtime Companion about how I'm going to try to make you love me. I'm going to try to make you stay.
Yeah.
But it's pretty obvious that that's not going to happen. At least, nothing about his personal life, but, like, the way the album runs is a kind of a chronicle of the whole thing. It seems kind of like empty hope at the end there.
Yeah. So I think I was calling it the slide guitar, but I think that's a pedal steel guitar, right? That's that classic country guitar, I think.
Yeah, there's like a lap steel.
Yeah.
Or a different thing, like the pedal steel is a different thing, and then the lap steel is sort of like a slide guitar, which is what you meant. Like you play it on your lap. With just like a glass slide on your finger.
Yeah, but is a pedal steel different then?
Kinda. You do all that, but it's not something that you could, like, it's not something that looks like a guitar at all. And it's got these pedals and levers and stuff that really change the pitch. Rather than having your finger go like, rah, rah, mm-hmm. Like you can do with the pedal. So it like moves the bridge and stuff.
Hmm. Well, clearly I do not know my common country music instruments very well.
I don't think I'm probably describing that right. I've seen it played, and it's... Who had one? Well, this guy I work with, Sean, I went to his apartment about several years ago, and he let me play with it, and it was like the coolest thing ever. Like, you just play like anything, like you just strum the, you know, run the pick across it, and then you go like with your feet. It's mm-hmm. super fun to play.
Wow. Cool.
So...
Well... I think there is some good instrumentation on this, like the previous song that we played where it, you know, has the bass line going and then there's all this stuff coloring it in. So, yeah, sorry, Sonny, about your breakup, but hey, at least it allowed you to make some interesting music.
Yeah, I'm going to apologize for saying that I thought it was your fault because it's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, she might be just a jerk, right?
She might be.
Yeah.
She could might be like, when you make it big, this is going to be the best. And then he's like, I made it big. And she thought, that's it? And then she left.
She probably accused him of being the same man that he always was.
Yeah.
Which is not good enough. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he probably responded by saying, what do you want from me? You know, here I right. am. I finally met the success that you wanted, and now you're not impressed.
Yeah.
What a sad thing.
That's equally...
Yeah.
Well, let's not kid. That's less likely, but also possible.
Yeah.
So in the end, I thought this album was interesting, and I like the first album a lot, and this one was, different and gave you stuff to think about. I'm not sure how much I like it, though, if I'm going to listen to it a whole lot more. I don't think I really am going to listen to it much more.
For me, it was an interesting listen. And, you know, definitely more country than a typical thing that I would listen to.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of glad that I listened to it. And if I go back and listen to it later, I'll be kind of like thinking, hey, you know, I'm glad I listened to that.
Yeah. I'd be really curious to see what his next one comes, you know, it's going to sound like. That's
yeah.
way in the future. But, you know, and I've got a couple of things and see what he's going to do next.
Hopefully he won't try to do like a, you know, a hard rock album or something.
Yeah.
Were you ever familiar with Richard Hawley?
Yeah.
He, he had these kind of retro,
like
acoustic guitar things.
Yeah, like crony kind of stuff.
Crony stuff. And Chris gave me a couple of his albums, and I really kind of liked him. And then recently he came out with an album, and he tried to go like psychedelic rock or something, and just completely backfired.
That's not good.
Yeah, just like, well, I sampled a little bit, and I thought, boy, I don't know. This doesn't sound right. And then I read a review saying that, that he tried to do this more like loud rocking thing and it just backfired. And that's kind of was my impression, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So time to go back to your roots.
Totally. That's what Damian Jurado did that, like, I don't know, in the early 90s with that album, I Break Chairs.
Hmm.
He was kind of like Elliott Smithy sort of a guy.
Yeah.
Also from the Northwest.
Yeah.
And we went and saw him at the Catacombs because we really liked his music.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the I Break Chairs tour. And he just decided he's like going to be like balls out rocker. It was horrible.
Yeah. Too much
Asian
character.
And I are just looking at each other.
Like, what's he doing?
What are we doing here?
Yeah.
It was
did he
bad.
Do that? So he did that for the whole thing. He didn't even like make that like a... small for segment the, of the, his set.
Well, maybe it definitely was dominant. There might have been a couple of times where he slowed it down, but the reaction he got from that album turned him back into his old self.
Remember when Neil Young did the electronic album?
Yeah, Trans, right?
Yeah, everybody hated it.
Yeah. <It's> like, I have to admit, I don't think I've heard it.
I'm not sure if I have either.
Huh.
Yeah.
Like Trans... Right before or after was Everybody's Rockin'. Remember that one?
Yeah.
And Reactor. He had a bunch of stinkers in there.
He did. He had kind of a little slump, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then he kind of made a comeback.
Yeah. He made that one with like Rockin' in the Free World, like around 89. Kind of brought him back a little bit.
Well, Live Rust, like totally. But that was like what? That was way earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Sunny in the Sunsets. So, you know, a casual listener might think, you know, that they're totally fulfilled by the music we've given them already. And then they'd be surprised to know there's even more.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, there's more.
Yeah.
Right?
There's always one at the end that Barrett hasn't listened to.
Okay. Well, we're just going to introduce you to it then. Yeah. It's one of my power pop things. But it's good. Well, of course, I think it's good, or I wouldn't be deeming it podcast worthy. It's a band from London called Evans the Death. And I forgot where they came up with this name. It's some movie reference or something.
Yeah. I shouldn't say I didn't listen to it. It was on, but like it came on after Sunny in the Sunsets because we've got this playlist set up.
Yeah.
But I just didn't listen to it attentively enough to become familiar.
Okay. You know what? We'll get to this in a minute, but I forgot to do something early in the podcast.
Yes. Well, I got an email from Spotify about some songs that you added.
Yeah, I wanted to say happy birthday to myself.
When's your birthday?
My birthday is this coming week.
Wow.
See, that's something different that I added to the
yeah.
To the,
that's the, kind of music.
There's
news.
Even more. There's more, and then there's even more. Okay. So here, this is the news that I was going to talk about. Because my birthday is coming up, I thought I would celebrate it by playing a couple songs here, and I want to see if the listeners even know these songs. You know this one?
Oh, yeah.
That's to me. Happy birthday to me.
Claire Grogan is singing happy birthday to Will.
Nice of her. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the truly unique voices in the history of music.
The band was called Altered Images, and that's from, what, can you name the year? It's early
80s.
That's
probably from 81.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Something like that. And they're from Scotland.
Yep.
And the last album they did was called Closer. They came out in like 84 and got terrible reviews. But I got it on iTunes last year, and I really like it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't really ever hit it big, but this song somehow made it to the U.S., and I thought it was fun, and I thought about it, so I thought we should play it. Here's another one that's kind of from that era. Let's see if people know this, and this it'll be interesting to see if people know who this actually is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that is. I remember hearing that for the first time. First time I heard. Want to say who it is?
The Sugar Cubes.
I remember the first time I heard that near the end of college. It was probably 88, and that her voice is just incredibly thrilling. Like the first time I heard it, stunning. You know.
Yeah.
And you kind of got used to it after a while. Now it's just another thing, but you kind of hearing it now with fresh ears, trying to listen to it, you know, as if I'd hearing it back then.
Yeah,
again, it's just really thrilling. I got goosebumps.
Pretty cool. Yeah. So of course the singer for the Sugar Cubes was a woman named Bjork.
Yes.
Right. And who kind of got pretty successful as a solo artist, but there was never really any Bjork solo stuff that I liked as much as the Sugar Cubes, just for me personally.
I thought that
first Sugar Cubes album was just great.
Although when you go back and you listen to it, which I did like 2 years ago, there's that one other guy, you know, like that song Sick for Toys.
Yeah, there's
he's like singing all this stuff, like they're sort of going back and forth.
Yeah.
And he just sounds, he's terrible. Like he's, kinda a, like, he's an embarrassment.
I'm trying to remember back. Was he? Did he sound kind of like Fred Schneider from the B-52s?
That same kind of tone.
Yeah.
Like that same kind of timbre or whatever, but like
yeah,
with, you know, this Icelandic accent.
Yeah, and he was overmatched by Bjork, right?
Yeah. Anybody would be.
Yeah.
But he just sounded terrible. I mean, he wasn't even singing.
Yeah. So there's my happy birthday to myself.
Yeah.
I almost forgot to mention it. So
what's the actual date?
The 12th. July 12th.
July 12th.
Yeah. So everybody go have fun on July 12th.
7/12/61, right?
Yeah. That was a long time ago.
What else happened on that date? Do you know any?
I don't know. You could look it up. I'm sure a lot of
that's
exciting
like the
stuff.
Civil War was about then, right?
About it's around then, yeah. It's pretty close, yeah, yeah. Both of those things happened a long time ago, so it's about approximately the same. Yeah,
yeah. But you and Kennedy walked the Earth at the same time.
We did. Yeah,
I can't say that.
I didn't walk the Earth with dinosaurs, though. I don't think, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So,
were you born in a house or like in a cave or like in a hospital?
As far as I know, I was born in just a good old fashioned hospital.
Huh.
Yeah. And apparently the birth worked because evidence, I survived.
Yeah. Evidence exists that you survived.
Yeah. It's good to know, isn't it? So maybe we ought to go back and talk about Evans the Deaf because I said we were going
to. Sidetrack there. Yeah. But, well, happy birthday.
Thanks.
You know, last year I know that you got that expensive whiskey. This year you probably won't get, did you try like some Johnny Walker Blue or something? Or something even more
I think
that.
I don't remember.
I really
now.
Splurged.
I got one glass of Johnny Walker Blue, you know, for like $25 or something. Remember that? And I thought it was really, it was not as great as I thought it would be. See, and that part of the problem is if you expect greatness, then, and it's not quite greatness, then, you know.
Right.
But I was glad that it, you know, I had an excuse to try it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Can you get that, like, for half price at?
Up at the Broca?
Yeah.
Our neighborhood bar? Like no, after... because remember that deal? That's only for whiskeys that are like up to like $12.
Oh.
So you can't get the half price deal once it goes up higher.
Yeah, they'd be losing their shirts if they gave away that stuff for like...
For half price, yeah.
$12 an ounce.
Right, yeah.
How could they stay in business?
Can't do that, right? But we'd go up there and we'd just put them out of business with pride, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's every man out for himself.
I think we could probably talk the guy into letting us do that, though.
On a birthday?
A birthday, yeah.
Maybe they'd do it.
I want to try
like
a blind, you know, blind tasting with that and then some mystery one that he picks that's like $10 that he thinks is kind of similar and see if I can discern which one.
Yeah,
I like, you know,
that'd be good. That'd be good. But then you have to put a lot of trust in the bartender because what if he decided to like mess with your head and like not give you the right answer?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, but then I'd have you there to watch.
Yeah, I would watch him pour it. Yeah. There we go. All right. So we have some ideas here.
Homework. We'll do that.
All right. So this Evans the Deaf album is, you know, it's London power pop, done well. So let's play some. Then we can discuss it as appropriate. So here's track 3 called "Sleeping Song So Long."
Time to
Chris Evans, The Death.
Yeah, I like the way that sounds.
You know, one thing that I think I kind of like about it is that I can't decide whether the singer is actually a good singer or not. I think she's really not that good of a singer, like, you know, academically. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't necessarily always hit the notes. And but sometimes a singer that's not, like, polished, it just fits in well with the music. So
yeah,
it's a little bit raw, which I think is kind of fun. So here's another one. It's called Morning Voice. Well, just when I said she wasn't a very good singer, she sang pretty well in that one.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So definitely has the Brit pop sound, right? I mean, right. They really don't sound American.
No.
So, which is kind of fun because, I don't know, kind of like that.
It's getting hard, I think, for British bands to make it in this little world that we talk about. I think that's because...
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think it's because, like, all these bands in Brooklyn, whatever... are you know, they can play in New York and DC and North Carolina and Chicago.
Yeah.
For these people that, you know, write for these music blogs and stuff, and they can see them. And it's hard for a band like this, you know, to come from London. They're not making any money.
Right.
You don't need to make any money to, like, tour around if you're already in the United States.
Yeah.
So I think because there's so little money to be made in this kind of music today, that, you know, it's a real barrier for British bands.
We just don't hear about a lot of these bands.
But you do hear about the Swedish bands and the Norwegian bands.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. That's very interesting.
Why is that?
Yeah.
It's just so expensive to live there that they can afford to fly here. And if they stay long enough, they can make up the difference in, like, you know, less expensive food and drinks. And then by the time they get back, they haven't even affected their budget, right? If they stay for like 2 weeks,
yeah,
pays for the airfare.
Yeah, could be.
I don't know.
Boy, I don't know. It's very interesting. All right, let's play one more. This one's kind of cool. Evans the Death, and it's called Wet Blanket.
We'll be right back.
That's Evans the Death. And we are rooting for you, Evans the Death. So
yeah,
let's see if we can get this thing a little publicity and get some people listening to this.
They've got to come to the States.
That would be very cool. Yes.
You guys, if you're listening, just Priceline some tickets. They have Priceline over there in the UK.
Yeah, they must.
So, well, you just use it anywhere, right? Except for China.
Yeah.
Or North Korea.
Maybe they could get a gig playing on a cruise ship that goes from Britain to the U.S.
Wow.
And then, you know, so you come over on the cruise ship, you know, you play for, you know, you'll have to lower your standards and play some covers and stuff, right? And but, you know, you can also play your own set, right? And then what you do is then you do like staggered tours, right? So that you, when you get to the U.S., you get a couple weeks in the U.S. to play some shows here, mm-hmm. right? And then you take the next boat back like 2 weeks later. In the meantime, somebody from the U.S. takes your boat back.
I was thinking the same thing.
And does a tour and gets to go to Scotland and you know, London and, you know, all over the place. And I think we're on to something here, aren't we?
We are, because you could take a bunch of bands, you know? You'd have like, it takes like 5 days, doesn't it?
I don't know how long it takes.
I think that's like how long the Titanic was taking. And they were going too fast, as we know. So maybe slow it down a little bit. Take your, you know...
Yeah.
Dial back the...
take your time.
Accelerator a little bit, and you'd have a bunch of bands, so it'd be sort of like a little festival on the sea. And just like you were saying, you'd get Evans of the Death over there, and then there, you know, whatever the band that like, left from Brooklyn to go to the UK, like, you get to use their van, right?
Yeah, they could leave it there.
And you leave your van.
Oh, this is just beautiful.
It's a
partnership between British and American indie rockers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This could work, except the only problem is that it'd be really expensive to get the boat.
Well,
that's the only problem.
Yeah, but that's supposed to be complimentary because you're the house band. You know, you're working.
Yeah, but I'm not saying for the artists. I'm saying, like, if we get this together.
Oh.
Then we have to get a big boat.
No, they play on, like, you know, the Princess Cruise or whatever.
Okay.
You know, you go so on we a would, big commercial line.
Okay. Right? Well, I think we need to get involved. This is our idea.
That's true.
Somebody's going to get rich
off of
this.
We need to
get some backers, and then we need to rent one of these boats to start off with.
Well,
I think I've had the same idea before.
At least for brokering the deal, we should at least get the free trip, right?
We get you the free trip.
Should. Yeah. And we'd be podcasting like every day from the thing, right?
We'd have to offset the cost of the thing.
We are just full of ideas, aren't we?
Well,
you know what's going to happen?
If we already had the boat, it would be a done deal.
Right, yeah. The boat we could afford, though, right now would sink like 2 miles offshore.
Yeah.
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 So, you know, one of these weeks after one of these podcasts, I'm sure we'll be probably contacted by a billionaire benefactor, don't you think?
Probably.
And then they'll just fund the whole thing. They're going to think these guys have great ideas.
Yeah, what's the guy from Virgin Atlantic? What's his name?
There's
Richard Branson.
Okay. Maybe, do you think he's listening, maybe?
I don't think so. But some of our British listeners might know him. That's a small place. England is.
Yeah,
so
it's small.
Probably one of these like listeners is like his uncle.
Could be. Yeah. I think every week we're making more connections and we're going to go viral pretty soon in more ways than one. You know, speaking of benefactors, there was another item of music news that I forgot. This is a great one, right? The band Girls, right?
Oh, yeah,
remember
right.
The benefactor?
Yeah.
So Christopher Owens of the band Girls announces that he's quitting the band. And I thought that was so great because he's quitting his own band, right?
Yeah.
It's his own band. Like, there can't be the band Girls that doesn't have him in it. He wrote all the songs and he sang all the songs, right?
That's my first impression, too. And then, like, it does seem totally silly, but there are other people that are somehow involved in it, right?
Yeah.
So he's like...
Well, it's like a touring band.
Yeah,
well, I suppose,
so he's like, this thing has a little currency. Without me there, it's got a lot less, but whatever's left, you guys are free to make what you can out of it.
Do you think the other band members will try to like continue and keep the band name?
I don't know.
That'd be pretty fascinating if they did. Yeah, just find another singer.
They should try.
Maybe Todd Rundgren is available.
Yeah. Todd Rundgren.
He's always available to fill in if somebody needs a singer.
Yeah. He's like a pinch hitter.
So I was thinking, who else has quit their own band? And my best example was that this would be like Danny Joe Brown quitting Danny Joe Brown and the Danny Joe Brown Band.
I don't know that.
What would be
I've
left?
Never heard that.
He was the singer for the band Molly Hatchet.
Oh, okay.
Southern rock band from the late 70s.
Yeah.
Danny Joe Brown. And then he did a solo thing, and it was called Danny Joe Brown and the Danny Joe Brown Band.
Did he quit that band?
No, I was just thinking, what if he did, though?
It would be like that. It would be the same thing, yeah.
What if he did? Like,
or like Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band.
Without Bruce Springsteen,
like, yeah, like Todd Rundgren and the E Street Band.
Right. Did you remember that there was a band, The Cars, featuring Todd Rundgren as the vocalist?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Kind of an ill...
Rick Ocasek and the E Street Band.
Yeah. That'd be great. He could sing the Clarence Clemens parts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. I think we've given the listeners their money's worth once again.
Mm-hmm.
So look how much I'm going to have to edit here.
How long are we going here?
We're like well over an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a little bit of dead air, but we're really going on and on here.
Well, if they're gonna play this like on Sirius Radio, we're gonna have to edit it down to very precise.
Right. We'd have to have a timer on, and we'd have to be saying like, "All right, our time is up," you know, that kind of thing.
Is that's commercial free, right? So we don't have to worry about all that stuff.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah. Why don't we have a Sirius channel? Wait, did Sirius buy XM or did XM buy Sirius?
I don't know.
One of them bought the other.
Did they? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I totally soured on that whole idea. I had a rental car once that had it in there. You know,
yeah.
It was a loaner when my car was at the body shop. And it was some like total crap car, you know. And it had satellite radio. So I'm like, oh, this is kind of interesting. I'll listen. And the sound quality was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. It was worse than FM. It was like the bandwidth of the bit rate or whatever that they had on the digital audio was so bad that just the sound quality was terrible. I couldn't even stand it. But yeah. I'm an audio snob, so.
You know. What I didn't like, we had it on part of our trip too. We traded cars a couple of times. And there was one station called First Wave. They're supposed to be playing like classic college rock stuff, and you listen for a little while and it's like, wow, okay, there's Aztec Camera, and now they're playing Orange Juice, and now they're playing REM.
Yeah.
Getting way into it. And then they would play, you know, like Depeche Mode. I hate Depeche Mode a lot, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh, there's you know, whatever, the Tom Tom Club, and they just kept doing it all wrong. I don't know. I guess they didn't
And I think what would end up happening is they'd start repeating.
Yeah, know? Probably.
You'd think it was cool, like you could listen to it for a few days, and then they'd start repeating the same songs. You'd be like, oh my God, this is bad.
But other than that, I mean, they had, you know, you could get like the 70s and the 60s and the 80s and all that. So,
yeah.
But they had like a Bruce Springsteen station. They had an Elvis Presley station. Like, that's all they played.
There's a Springsteen station?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, then, now that I've alienated the whole organization, we probably can't get on it. But there should be, probably we should have a station.
Will's Band of the Week station.
Yeah. Or,
if
you know,
Bruce Springsteen gets his own station, why don't we?
At least, like, tops of the podcasts or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And then we're featured on there prominently, right?
Yeah, we could, right, you listen to the podcast, and then after this, you'd hear the whole Evans of the Death album from beginning to end. That can be like our station.
Exactly. Right. Right. After we feature somebody, then they could play the whole album of everything that we've talked about and then recycle it back to our podcast.
Yeah.
Because that would kill, 3 hours at least?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again, we are so full of ideas. Yeah, yeah. So, some young billionaire or entrepreneur or whatever needs to contact us. So you know how to contact us. We're available.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. So I guess it's time to sign off, and hopefully I'll have time to edit this thing. I'm driving 9 hours for each of the next 2 days. Hopefully then be back in town. So if this podcast is not up until Monday night, you'll know why.
Right.
But we're going to shoot for the usual Sunday. We'll see what happens. All right. I think we need to sign off right now. So let's do that. I am going to say goodnight, and we'll be back again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.